Hello, and welcome to Gen X, Y, and I, a conversation with three generations of positive people, featuring Real World Dar.
That's me.
Millennial Helen.
Hello.
And Not-So-Silent Bob.
I'm here and I'm raring to go.
All right, Bob. Ooh, I believe you.
We'll make you laugh, we'll make you think, and we'll always end on a happy note. This episode is brought to you in part by Breakwater Federal Credit Union in Houghton, Michigan. They have a special offer for our listeners. Come in for a consumer loan, mention this podcast, and they will waive the $100 processing fee. Limit one per person, membership required, and all loans are subject to credit approval. In today's episode, we're talking about how has your view on love and relationships evolved?
Ooh, the evolution. Let's talk about our guest millennial. Helen is back with us from season three. And I think you already know who she is, but check season three if you don't.
Yeah.
But Helen's back from Chicago. So welcome back into the studio, Helen.
Thank you. Very happy to be here. And yeah, ooh, what a question. I'll start. Go ahead and get started. So when you first sent me this question, I think initially my mind jumped to romantic love and partnership, right? Mm-hmm. And so much of that, I think, growing up is like the Disney fairy tale happy ending. And as a young woman or girl, you know, thinking about love, I think I very much thought it was a feeling and something that happened to me. So I guess I'm very passive in a way, or just how I would feel when I was in love with someone. And then obviously as I got older and in a relationship, kind of realized or my view on it, how that evolved is taking that from a feeling into more of an action, right? Mm. So love as an action, a verb. I can feel all the love I want for somebody, but are they feeling that from me? Am I showing them my love in that verb active sense? And then probably after I marinated it on a few more days, I'm like, wait, why am I thinking about or failing to think about all the other types of relationships and love that you have, not just for, you know, your partner, but also friends, family, pets, all of those other folks and relationships out there. So I think that was a really big mindset shift to just think about all of those other relationships and that they're also very important, right? And to have a fully loving and fulfilling life, not neglecting those when you get into a partnership, going from single to dating in the past year and seeing how that changed friendships that were developing as well, or maintaining long distance friendships, family members, and keeping that active. That's where I think I really see that active part of love.
That's great.
To keep connected with everyone.
Nice. Well, as you were talking, I thought about, I went back to my Bible school days, and we, from a biblical standpoint, there are four types of love, and I don't know if people know that. So there's like storge love, which is like familial affection, and then phileo love, which is friendship, eros love, which is passion, and then agape love, which is charity or the God kind of love, eternal love. And so it made me think about that. So I'm glad that you brought that up because people define love differently and what type of love. And I like that you framed it that way. So what was the question again?
How's your view on love and relationships
changed
evolved?
Or evolved? Okay, yeah. So before I was married and I was single for quite some years, I always had in my mind that I would give 100% expecting nothing. And so that was like one of my confessions is that, and it's almost along the lines of agape love, it's unconditional type love. And so, and I'm reminded of that daily being in a relationship, you know, with my husband is that my love isn't conditional. So I don't do it. I don't give to get. So it's not like I'm a manipulation, so to speak. And so just being reminded that, you know, giving 100%, expecting nothing. I don't know if I'm really there because I feel like being involved with someone, there are expectations. But I think one of the other things that has been really prevalent in my mind, you know, now that I've been married for 3 years, is that you don't lord over anybody. So I remind myself of that, that I don't lord over anyone. So my husband is still a very independent person, and, you know, we're working together. But the other thing that I've learned is the value of value in a different perspective, or seeing that there's different ways of doing things. And that I think that's how I have evolved in my relationship, or my understanding of love is being able to value his perspective and not. I mean, people will say opposites attract with us because he's introvert and I'm extroverted. And just the way we just do, like me coming home at the end of the day, it's like, hey, how was your day? What'd you do? And I've learned to give him 15 minutes of silence, or try to give him 15 minutes of silence, because he's an introvert. So he's been working with people all day, and he just needs time to just not do anything. And I have an introverted friend, Helen.
What?
And I learned that from you. And so I'm applying that to my relationship with Derek. It's just learning to value a different perspective or a different approach, and not just like mine is the right way, so to speak. And so I think those are ways that my understanding of love or relationship has evolved.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, there's, again, I'm glad you pointed out all the different loves, because obviously your love for, like, my wife is different than your love for your children.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget when we had our first child. It knocked me off my feet. I mean, I literally, after the baby was born, I went home. My wife was still in the hospital. And I actually cried, because I realized this was forever.
Mm-hmm.
This was forever. This is even different than a marriage. This is forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
unlike a marriage.
Yeah. And I mean,
he's like, yeah.
And really, as the kids grow, I mean, I don't know if this is a goofy thing, but I mean, you sometimes think to yourself, if I had to, I'd give my life for the kids.
That's how strong,
and my wife too.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the people that, I don't know why I ask those questions, but sometimes it pops in my head. Geez, you know, would I go ahead and give my life. And I think that's, you know, sort of down the road. My love evolved, or how my relationships evolved. I mean, I've had, you know, the girlfriends and stuff like that. And then I ended up falling in love, the romantic love, once. Actually, I was in the Army, and it was in Salt Lake City. And I mean, it was goofy stuff. I mean, I would leave the girl, and I would, like, you know, oh my gosh, I couldn't wait to get back. And that kind of stuff. It didn't last. It was heavy duty, and it was done.
Mm.
And I found that that's not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
My wife and I are great friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't start out that way. And frankly, maybe that's another thing too. I find out that if you start out, at least not my case, I'm not saying this is the way for everybody. For my case, my wife and I didn't like each other at all, and so we let each other have it. We were honest with each other, and so we didn't have to hold back.
Mm-hmm.
We were real with each other, and so I mean, after that whole thing crashed and burned on me, I got out of the Army. It wasn't too long before Carol and I we started getting really serious, and I realized that, hey, she's one of my best friends, and I really like her. And if I was going to go ahead and live with somebody for the rest of my life and raise children, I would want to be with her.
Yes, awesome.
And so it started more as a friendship than, you know, but we've been married 54 years.
Ooh,
and
a whole lifetime.
I will definitely tell you that love grows. Don't get me wrong. We still yell and we still bicker.
Mm-hmm. You're communicating.
Yes.
So we're communicating, right?
And Dar always gets a kick out of us.
I love it. We
bicker with each other all the time.
Carol gets with Bob. She does not hold back.
Yes.
But it's cool to see that it's just, that's their dynamic, right? That's how they relate and communicate with one another. And
yeah, so, and it keeps growing. I mean, I think it does grow. But please don't think that it's going to be all uphill and all terrific all the time. There were several times in our relationship that I'm sure she thought of it and I thought of it too. I don't know if I want to keep this going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason why we both kept it going is because neither of our families had any divorces in our family. And it was just like, when you got married, you toughed it out. You did what you had to do to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that that's not a good advice for everybody, because abuse is not something you want to tolerate forever.
Right.
But that was, there was that extra push, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that when we left, both of our kids were raised in Carbondale, Illinois, which is where my first job was, at Southern Illinois University. We had family 60 miles away, and we would go there on weekends, not to drop the kids off. And I mean, but we had grandparents there and aunts and uncles, and that people got involved with the kids,
the village,
and everything.
The village,
and we didn't leave them. I mean, we didn't just dump the kids and go do our own thing. That's not how we did it in our day and age. But it was nice to have. When we moved up here, wow, I really found out what it was like to be a nuclear family, and it was much harder.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, from that, and of course, if it's hard for a nuclear family, can you imagine what it's like for a single parent to try to raise kids?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Without support, without the village.
And I remember here I managed Daniel Heights Apartments for the university. With that experience, we started a parent support group.
Mm-hmm.
And we started one in our church, too, and it was helpful for me, as well as for the other people who volunteered to come and talk about how hard it is to raise kids.
Yeah, and I think sometimes you just think, even in marriage, you think that, because some of the hard stuff, like you talked about, Bob, people don't talk about. Mm-hmm. They just breeze over it, and you're just like, how are they? And that's the other thing that I have learned, is that our relationship is ours, and so I don't look to other relationships, because you can just get caught up, especially with social media and all that kind of stuff, that
yep.
you comparing yourself, and you know, we are two unique people and our relationship is unique. And so I think that's another perspective that I have evolved to.
Mm-hmm.
But I have one quick question before we wrap up, because I don't have children, so I don't know what that feels like. And I have heard that it's very, very, a very special experience. And so I'm interested to hear, like, you know, like, I don't know, I believe that there are people that prioritize their children over their spouse. You know what I mean? And so they'll be like, well, I'll give my life for my child, and it's not so much for their spouse.
Mm.
And so I don't know if anyone have heard that narrative, but I mean, for me, from a biblical standpoint, yeah, I'm one with my husband. So if I had to choose between my husband and a child, and that's me, but I've never had a child.
Right.
But I feel like it's a different experience that happens once you have children.
The difference, like, it's a different feeling. I mean, when you're talking about your spouse, this is a person who is grown up, and they can somewhat fend for themselves.
Mm,
you're talking
so
about a little
why.
Baby, a little child. I mean, this is totally, you know, they can do nothing for themselves. I mean, you are their sole protector. And so it's such a different feeling, that kind of love for the child, or as far as your spouse is concerned. Yeah, thank God I had a spouse to get us through the whole period of raising children. I'd hate to do it on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And I kudos to those people who do a decent job raising children on their own.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. If you have any suggestions you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at genxyandi@gmail.com. Also, let us know what you think of the episodes. We love hearing from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, Apple Podcast, Audioboom, or your podcast platform of choice. Thanks again to our wonderful sponsors, REO Acoustics, Upper Peninsula Audiology, and Breakwater Federal Credit Union.